My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Bag of cement in 2-3 years time, because there's inflation, and inflation is the rate of increase, the rate of change in the prices of goods and services. So constantly the prices of goods and services are changing. So your money that could buy that one bag of cement today, in 5 years time cannot even buy half a bag, because inflation is working against you. Prices of goods and services are changing. But if you save, if you invest, sorry, your investment is earning a return, and normally it's able to balance your inflation, and then sometimes, even depending on the investment you choose, it can even beat it.
All right.
Another thing that works against your savings is currency depreciation. In our part of the world, we cannot talk about inflation or savings and not talk about currency depreciation. We know that our currencies are pegged to certain major international currencies. So as the currency is depreciating, which is the norm that we have seen in our country, the value of your money is also, your money is also losing value. Mm. That is why if you look at what has happened in the past few months in Ghana, which we are all happily surprised about, which is that our cedi has been appreciating, you find that it's directly affecting your purchasing power. We all saw the various adverts, CD now pay discount sale, all the things that we're seeing. Yeah. It is because the currency is appreciating and it impacts your savings. In the same way, when it is depreciating, it impacts the value of your money. Your purchasing power is either increasing or decreasing. So that is what savings is, and that is why you should invest, because investment gives you a little income over your savings. And then that helps to cushion you against some of these things like inflation, like the currency depreciation I'm talking about. Okay. So if, for example, you put 1,000 CDs in a Susu box, as I said, after 18 years, you still have your 1,000 CDs. You put in a bank savings account that is paying you about 5% per annum. Mm. After 18 years, you have about 2,400. But if you put it in an investment, that is earning you about 15% per annum. Consistently, it's there. You're not touching it. It's there. You keep reinvesting. After 18 years, my grandfather will be able to give me 12,000 CDs compared to the stagnant 1,000 CDs from a savings. So these are some of the stark differences between savings and investment. Who can invest? Investments can be done by anybody as long as you're of legal age, which is 18, because you need a Ghana card to be able to undertake an investment in Ghana. Now, if you're not 18 and you still want to invest, you're a child, maybe you have some savings from your pocket money, you can get your parents to do it on your behalf. They can do it in trust for you. I'm bringing this up too because that sometimes when we talk about investment, people feel that it is for a certain class of people.
Yeah.
Me, who am I?
Yeah.
I'm this lowly. I do my 1 hour labor work. How can I invest? Investment is not reserved for any particular group of people. Anybody can invest. As long as you have a financial goal, we all have goals. You want to buy that car. You want to get that house. You even want to get married. You have to plan and save towards it. And so you can invest instead of just putting that money away till you find that girl you want to marry. You can decide to invest it.
Mm.
So by the time you find her, it's grown, you have a substantial amount, and then you can go ahead and get married. There are a few things to consider in making an investment. As much as it's important to invest, you need to be careful. There are certain factors you need to look out for. And that is why I'm sure by the time we finish, they will be hammering on the fact that you need to get advice.
Absolutely.
And when you speak to an advisor, they will help you to figure out some of these things. For example, in investment, one size does not fit everybody.
Okay.
In my early years as an investment analyst, so you get somebody walk into your office and they tell you they want to invest. Okay, how much? They tell you. Okay. And before you even start engaging them, they tell you what they want to invest in. I want to buy shares. Okay, what do you want to buy? PBC. Okay. Why do you want to buy PBC? Oh, I want PBC. Why? My friend bought PBC. So nothing you say, they want to buy PBC. Okay. So you start engaging them. Okay. So why are you investing? Oh, maybe we're in March. Why are you investing? Oh, my child is going to secondary school in September. So in September, I'll take it and go and pay their school fees. My friend says it will grow. So September, I'll take it. Your friend may have a different reason why they invested. You are going to pay your child's school fees in September. In September, when you come, I have to go and sell it for you.
Hmm.
What shows I'll be able to sell it? Even if I'm able to sell it, the market may be different. So the 1,000 cedis you may have put in may have become 800. So it does not suit you. So when you speak to an analyst, there's something we call risk profiling. So an analyst or an advisor would assess you, ask you a lot of questions, try and understand how old are you? Why are you investing? Is it for your retirement? How far are you from retirement? Do you have anything you can fall on if there's an emergency? Or it is the same investment that you would come and invest in? Some of these questions sometimes seem intrusive, but it's because the analyst wants to be able to determine what suits you. No one box suits everybody when it comes to investment.
Right.
So these are the reasons why they'll ask some of these questions. So you need to note that. There are a few others. You need to define your objective, how long you want to invest for, your age. For example, investments that may be suitable for somebody who has just started work and who is 25 years may not be suitable for somebody who is 55 years. 55 years, you are playing extra time. You have just 5 years to retire. So you have to be careful what sort of investments you choose.
Huh?
Exactly. But even if you take 255-year-olds who have 5 years to retirement, there still may be differences. There may be that 55-year-old who has already built a nest egg, is already sorted when it comes to their retirement, and so they're ready to play the market. So you may even choose different investment for such an individual. So no one straight jacket fits everybody when it comes to investment.
Right.
And then, now what can you invest in? There are various things you can invest in our market currently. So we have investments that we will call, and I'm using the word carefully, relatively risk-free.
Okay.
Or relatively lower risk.
Relatively lower
because
risk.
Because we all decided at a point to forget about the fact that risk is relative. And there's nothing that does not carry risk. And we all run towards government investments. And we decided to assume they are risk-free. And we have all learned our lessons. So we are defining it properly now.
Right.
So they are relatively lower risk. Or they guarantee you an investment. So you can have fixed deposits.
Right.
Okay. So fixed deposits are investments like treasury bills, government instruments, that are bills, bonds. And the thing about these is that they are normally, they'll tell you what return you get. If you give me 100 CDs, the return is 10%. So you know that at the end of a year, if it's for 1 year, I will get 10% of that. Then there are instruments like the same fixed deposits but issued by non-government institutions. Then you have stocks on the Ghana Stock Exchange. We call them stocks, equities, shares, depending on which part of the world you're standing. So these are, as I said, partial ownership in various companies that have listed on the Ghana Stock Exchange, which is like a market for these instruments. And then for those of us who have small amounts, who are always asking, oh, my amount is small, what can I invest in? You have what we call collective investment schemes. Those are like group funds that have been pooled together. So your 10 CDs, my 5 CDs, her 50 CDs is in a pool and is invested on our behalf by a qualified fund manager. It's licensed, it's registered, and you can access any of these investments. So in a nutshell, this is investment in Ghana. These are some of the things you can invest in.
Great insight. Okay. Great insight. I truly appreciate it. I truly appreciate it, Eugenia. And we want to pause for a breather, take a quick break. When we return, we'll follow up with some questions for you based on what you've given us this very moment. We truly appreciate it. You're still listening to Masterclass here on Joy 99.7 FM with me, Pius Kojobaka. Let's pause for a breather. We'll be right back with more. Welcome back to Masterclass here on Joy 99.7 FM with me, Pius Kojobaka. Masterclass is proudly brought to you by Goyle Good Energy. Goyle, yara yedia. Now, let me tell you about Goyle. Good Energy brings you Goyle Super XP, the ideal choice for most vehicles. It is flowing wah-wah-wah at many Goyle stations here in Ghana. Just go, fuel up your vehicle and enjoy the smooth ride with all the benefits. Goyle Super XP is quality and gives you the correct choice when buying regular fuel. Now, Goyle Super XP is fortified with a special additive that gives longevity to your engine, makes your engine perform to the max, ensuring that you enjoy the minimal fuel and it is suitable for most vehicles. As you journey the road, look out for Goyle stations with the Goyle Super XP. Sign and go fuel up your vehicle. Goyle Super XP, Ufilia Ubefili. Goyle Good Energy, Yara Yedia. All right, I tried. Now, let me follow up with some questions. Now, when Eugenia was speaking, she spoke about, you know, the higher the investment, the higher the risk. Now, I keep asking myself, knowing very well the risk is high when you're investing, why wouldn't we have a buffer to cushion you as a prospective, you know, an investor, so to speak, knowing very well that, yes, whatever I'm investing in, the risk could be high. Why don't we have some?
So maybe I'll approach it in two different ways. So first of all, one of the things I like to say is that before you start investing, and first, before you start investing, one of the things you need to have is an emergency fund, right? And because investment really comes with risk, there's no denying it, whether it is high or whether it is low. As Eugenia said, we had risk that investment instruments that we had purported as risk-free, but forgot that it is relatively low risk, which was investments that were exposed to the government, right? So everything comes with risk. You walk out of your car or you walk out of your house, anything can happen at all. So there is no running away from that. But then, so to do this, you need to at least have an emergency fund. So an emergency fund really is money that you put aside, we say averagely between 3 to 6 months of your living expense, right, monthly expense that you put it aside, where that when there's an emergency, you can fall back on. So that is one approach. And so when you go then and invest in an instrument and you have, during the 2 years, you have a, call it a haircut, and you have to pay school fees, you can fall on this emergency fund to sort yourself out. So really, you can't, you can't ignore the risk. You just have to find strategies around it. Another way to talk of cushion us is to diversify. We don't put all our eggs in one basket. And it's really important that we do that, because if one instrument is not giving you the, or it's down, let's assume the stock market is down, another investment, which could probably be a fixed instrument like a treasury bill or a bond, quote, reduce the impact of the risk. So have an emergency fund and don't put all your eggs in one basket. And right. that is the way you go around the risk.
All right. So we have a listener asking this question. Are insurance policies considered an investment? Are they?
I always say this. Insurance is not an investment. Investment is not an insurance. Right. Insurance is for you to protect, or it's to de-risk you, right? So that in the event where you have a loss of income or a loss of life, it comes in to help you, you know, recover, cushion you. However, investment is what you use to grow wealth. So those are, they are two distinct things. And yes, sometimes in our bid to, you know, make, because insurance adoption in Ghana is very low. So in our bid to make it quite attractive, now there are insurance firms are being innovative with structuring seemingly investment options attached to it. But insurance is should be used for the purpose to de-risk, and whereas investment is used to grow wealth.
All right. So let's make progress, really. With that, I want you to be practical as possible. Mm-hmm. So imagining I want to invest in something, mm-hmm. where do I start from? Regardless okay. of my portfolio, mm-hmm. my status in life, mm-hmm. where should I start from? Where do I begin?
Okay. So first of all, I would say ask yourself why.
Okay.
Because you need to understand why you are looking to invest, right? As Eugenia said, if I am looking to get married in 2 months' time, and that is my reason for investing, the approach that I will use will be different from somebody who is saving for her child's 18-year-old, 18 university fees. So you need to understand why. And then these are probing questions that even the investment advisor would also ask you to help establish. Then we get to find out your risk profile, as Eugenia said. So once you do that, then you need to go to the financial institution. So yes, there are a number of institutions, but largely all investment firms are licensed by the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission.
Okay.
So depending on the type of investment that you want to do, if you want to buy stocks, you can go to an investment firm, or you can go to a stock brokerage firm, and these are also licensed by the Ghana Stock Exchange.
Meaning that I need not to rush to any financial institutions. I have to do my background checks.
Yes, you need. It's very, very important, because we find that there's actually been situations within our economy where we've had different investment products come up, seemingly come up, and then they've all been scams, or people have lost millions of CD. So before you do any, ask a question, before you pass away with money, who regulates you? Who reports to you? And you need to also understand the business model. How are they able to generate the money that they are promising you? That is, if you are doing a fixed product. If, for instance, treasury bills currently, 91-day treasury bill, if you want to invest for 3 months, it's around 10%, right? And so if somebody tells you that, okay, for this 3 months, I'm going to give you 40%, it's alarming. You need to ask yourself, first of all, who is regulating you? Is it the SEC? Is it the Bank of Ghana? Is it GSE? Like, where do you feel? Who is your regulator? Who do you report to? Then how are you going to make up the money? So you need to really do a lot of the background. Fortunately, to now, a number of the investment firms and banks have platforms, and even we have the likes of Mobile Money, Momo, that you can also start investing, that have licensed products that we can also start investing with. So these are some of the practical ways that you can do.
All right. So you want to add something?
Yes, Paris, I just want to stress on something Sarah said, and I think it's key. As you are beginning your investment journey, ensure that whoever you're dealing with a licensed institution. If it's in the investment field, the umbrella regulator is the Securities and Exchange Commission. They're a phone call away. They actually even have a toll-free line.
Okay.
You go to their website, there's a toll-free line. You can call them. I want to invest with institution A. Do you know them? Ask all the questions you want to ask. It is your money, so it is important to you. So please take these steps before you take that step to give your money to anybody to invest with. So that's what I wanted to add.
All right. So I know the Securities and Exchange Commission very well, and I know the Ghana Stock Exchange itself, you know, has embarked on numerous education by way of, you know, sensitizing, you know, the public about this, more especially at the basic level, secondary, senior high schools, basically, you know, engaging them on, you know, stocks, market, etc. it is something that we need to pay a critical attention to you know, more or less improve or enhance education when it comes to investment and getting the right financial plan. So, yeah.
Okay. So I think we highlighted that, look, financial education cannot be, I mean, the essence of it cannot be overemphasized, right? And as is charity, a lot of education is very important, especially at the basic level, because when we get it right from the beginning, when we understand how money works, a lot of us unfortunately wait till, because we were not privy to some of this education, some of these knowledge, wait till we are close to retirement or close to, I mean, have done all the bad financial decisions before we want to get it right. I personally have been working in the space for about 10 years. I was working within the investment space, managing people's money, but not managing my own money well, because it's more theoretical, right? So there had to be intentionality around, look, you can't only just be making people rich. How about yourself? How do you take charge? But I didn't do this because I didn't have the background, because I didn't have GSE at the time coming to my secondary school or going to my primary school and then teaching us about money. So, I mean, the GSE's drive right now on financial literacy and the education, especially about market, is very well, it's in the right track. Yes.
All right. That's fine. Eugenia, let me come to you with this. So, in all my questions, I just want us to be practical as possible, because we don't know who is listening and wants to, you know, understand this very well. So, granted, I know the reason why I want to invest. Mm-hmm. How much would you advise that I should start with?
Pius, as I've said right from the beginning, when it comes to investment, what you can do is different from what I can do. We are two different people. So I cannot prescribe and say it's a certain amount you start with.
Okay.
You need to sit down and draw a plan. How much can I put away every month towards whatever goal it is? You can take a step further, get help. If you speak to a financial advisor and you tell the advisor that I want to be able to, I keep using a car. Okay, I want to be able to buy a car in 5 years' time. This is the sort of car I'm estimating. This is the price. The person will even be able to calculate for you relatively how much you have to put away every month to be able to get that amount you want at the end of the period. So it's up to you. There's nothing like you start with X amount or Y amount. Having said that, of course, there are certain investment instruments that will tell you what the minimum is. But I know there are collective investment schemes that we spoke about on the market who tell you there's no minimum. So even if you have 10 CDs, they'll take it. The key thing is commit to it. If it's 10 CDs you can do every day, every week, every month, be committed. Do it consistently. I keep telling people that some of the biggest individual portfolios I have under my management, it is not because the person brings you a lump sum to manage. They have a plan and they stick to it religiously. They do things like standing orders. So immediately their salary hits their account, that amount is gone. It's gone into investment. Because if it is in your account and that family member comes to borrow money from you, once it is there, you can't look at their face and let them go. But if you intentionally commit to, I want to invest a certain amount every month, and you have done a standing order or direct debit, and it is leaving your account on a certain date every month, you know that it's not part of your budget. Right. You don't have it to spend.
Meaning that you need to have the right financial plan, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about that. And how that, you know, juxtaposed to, you know, making the right investment. Okay.
So, I mean, a financial plan really is, I mean, we all left, when I left my house this morning, I knew I was coming here, right? So there's always a destination that we all have to work towards. And so, as we have said, you don't just up and say, I want to invest. I want to invest for what purpose? Because the purpose will also keep you on track, and it is what will keep you motivated. And it is what will help you for us to even identify what type of investment will be best suited for you. So the financial plan really is just lays out what you want to do, where you want to get to, how much you should be spending, how much you should be investing, or how much you be saving to work towards that plan or that goal. And so the plan is also what will now help us define the instrument or the type of investments that you should actually do. So if your plan, for instance, is to give your children who are maybe 2 years old now, and you want, or you are now going to have kids, and then your plan is that by the time they are 18, I want to give them 100,000. That is the plan. So then we can then work it backwards and say, okay, if you want to give them 100,000, then you need to put aside maybe 50 CDs in this type of investment that will give you this amount, this estimated interest rate to help meet the plan. And so once you also have the plan, if you do the naming ceremony or the christening, and somebody comes to give you money, guess what? You not just spend the money. You put it towards the plan because you are being intentional about it. So it's very important that we have the plan. I mean, write the vision plain, right? So we need to write it down, have the plan, and then we are intentional and strategic about it. If you receive birthday gifts, on the rich aunties give your children birthday gifts, you don't just spend it. Or yes, you are buying the toys, but keep a bit of it, and then you go towards the plan, because remember, your plan is that you're going to give them 100,000 by the time they are 18, or you are saving towards this by the time they are 18.
All right, Eugenia, would you advise me to, as we wrap up the conversation, would you advise me to have multiple investments? Would you?
Definitely. I think we've spoken about the importance of diversification, not putting all your eggs in one basket, no matter how relatively low risk the investment is. You need to diversify. So you diversify across various investments. Why do you do that? As Seriam explained, you may have, you know, the investments are done in the market, and the market goes through phases. So depending on what is happening in the market, one investment may be doing well, the other may not be doing too well. Then you have a cushion, so that always you have a balance. So you definitely need to have more than one investment vehicle. You need to invest, you need to diversify. So seek help, seek advice. If you choose a collective investment scheme, it helps you to automatically take advantage of diversification, because that pot is diversified into various instruments. Okay. So yes, you definitely need to have different investments.
All right. We are trying to wrap up the conversation, but as we do that, maybe a little bit of education on this as well, which of course has to do with, you know, making the right investment. Now, we saw what happened previous years ago, which of course I told you not to remind me. Now, at the end of the day, the investor, you know, was badly hit as a result of whatever it is. Who gets to penalize my trusted institution? I went to invest in your trusted institution. Now, whatever decision that has been taken, I get to bear the brunt of it, which of course wasn't my fault. Don't you think I need to be compensated?
Okay.
Maybe you want to take it?
So you went to a trusted or a licensed investment institution. They took the decision on your behalf. They invested for you, and this is what happened. We'll have to look at certain things. For example, in saying the institution should be penalized, what did the institution do wrong? Did they follow the laid down procedure for investing for you? Did they engage you? Did they understand that this is what your money is for, and therefore these are the instruments that are suitable for you? Now, when they did they do their research on what they are investing in? And then when they invested, what happened to the investment? Is it that they picked investments that are by institutions that are not licensed, or institutions that are not regulated? No, they actually did all the homework and picked institutions. If we are referring to the example you are talking about, then they picked institutions or investments that we all classify as relatively low risk.
Okay.
So in that case, what can you say the institution did wrong? We all did not foresee what happened in the market. We knew what was happening in terms of the country's debt exposure, but I think none of us in our wildest analysis predicted that or foresaw the magnitude of what happened. So some of these things happened. And I know most of us are going through what Seriam calls post-traumatic stress disorder when it comes to investment.
Yeah.
But in my local Gampalance, ke insurance shall mami dan, etra ko nun.
Yeah, okay.
The fact that your mother drowned, which is serious, is sad, does not mean you stop drinking water.
All right.
So get up, get on that horse again, and let's start investing.
Sarah, last word for you.
Okay.
A minute.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, as Eugenia has said, another thing is that we should also be interested to understand what we are investing in. Okay. It's very important because a lot of the funds, for instance, that we may have suffered haircut, the information was actually out there. Okay, this is what we are investing in. And so we should just also be interested, understand what we are investing in, and also don't ignore the risk factor. As we have said, investment comes with risk. We just have to find a way to balance the risk, and we should just start.
Great. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining me here on Joy 99.7 FM. It's been Masterclass, proudly sponsored by Goyle. They say Goyle, good energy. Goyle, yera, yedia. Thank you so much for doing the listening as well. And of course, my guest has been Eugenia Bashir, the Chief Executive Officer of Tessa Capital Limited, and Sarah Mufriata, Investment Manager at Temple Investments Limited. Grateful for joining me here on the program. I truly appreciate it. And reminder that this is a month series by way of, you know, time with the capital market here on Masterclass. You just want to miss out. Great discussion coming up next week. Do make a date with us. Grateful serving you. Always a delight coming your way. I am Pius Kojobaka. Lexis Bill, shortly.